I think most of us moms and dads want to add to our parenting arsenal, if you will, of tools to deal with our kids. Jim Daly and I had a great conversation with Ginger Hubbard about helping control your child's tongue. And we went on to continue the conversation as Ginger shared her salvation story and some additional parenting tips.
Ginger, you went through kind of a rebellious period, so you know what that is like. How did that manifest? And then how has that informed your parenting? What did you learn, right or wrong, from how your parents handled your rebellious years?
Well, it's interesting because I did not grow up going to church. As a matter of fact, at 18 years old, I had never even stepped foot inside of a church.
Okay.
I didn't even know the simple things. I didn't know that Noah built the ark or that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I didn't know anything at all. And so my parents actually came to know the Lord when I was 17 years old.
Oh, what a change.
Yes, yes. A family down the street invited my younger brother to start attending church with them, and he came to know the Lord, and so he invited my parents and me to come watch him get baptized, and we were not very excited about that.
Or what it meant, probably.
Right. No, not at all. We thought, oh, no, that's great that you have gotten saved, but, you know, let's not tell anybody about it.
Right.
And so we just didn't know at all. We were just so ignorant to anything about the Lord, and so we made this pact that we would go to church and we would sit on the very back row. And as soon as my brother was baptized, we would make a beeline out of there because we didn't want to have to talk to those people.
So you had a plan.
We had a plan. We had a plan. And so, but my parents, it was a very spirit-filled church. And when they were singing, I believe the song was Majesty.
Uh-huh.
And my mom in particular just began to look around and she just started crying. And my daddy leaned over and he said, "Babe, you're blowing it. What are you doing?" And she just said, "You know, these people are worshiping a God that we don't know. Huh. Where have we been?"
Wow.
And so the youth director at the time came to our house and shared the gospel with my parents. And they both prayed to receive Christ. And so they were just immediately spirit-filled, just dove into the Word of God and just had such a passion.
So at this point, you're the loner.
I'm the loner. And I was very happy with my lifestyle. I was rebellious and promiscuous and was partying every weekend and was quite happy with my lifestyle. So I did not like the change that I saw in my parents. Not so much that I didn't like the change. I didn't like all of the sudden that I had to go to church on Sunday morning, that I had to go to the youth group, that I had to do.
It affected you.
It affected me. And all of a sudden, they want to know what I'm doing on Friday night, and I don't need to do this anymore, and I don't need to do that anymore. And so it was a little bit rules-oriented, but, you know, their hearts were so right in it. They just totally loved the Lord immediately, and they really wanted me to love the Lord, too. And so, you know, some rules that maybe they shouldn't have enforced immediately. And
it's,
I think, looking
change
back, they say that, right? It was just a lot at one time. And so I completely rebelled. I did not like these rules. And I remember my daddy came into my room one night and he knelt beside my bed. And I had never in my life seen my daddy cry. First time I'd ever seen him cry. And with tears just streaming down his face, he said, he called me little girl. He said, "Little girl," he said, "I need to ask for your forgiveness." He said, "I have tried to win your love and win your heart by giving you everything that you ever wanted." I was very spoiled. My daddy very much spoiled me. He said, "But I've tried to win your love by giving you everything that you've ever wanted, but I have left out the most important thing in our family, and that's Jesus Christ."
Mm.
And, you know, I hugged him and I'm like, "Oh, Daddy, don't cry. It's okay. You know, I'll go to church. I'll do what you want me to do," because I just felt like his heart was broken. I just didn't understand the grief that he was experiencing from leaving Jesus out of our lives. And so for a little while, I obeyed the rules and came in at my curfew and wasn't partying as much, or at least I was hiding it more. But then they started, you know, really enforcing more things, like making me go to church and stuff like that. And not that that's wrong. I mean, I do think you should require your kids to go, but it was just a lot at one time for me, and I didn't understand.
You're coming from zero.
From zero. I didn't understand
hour.
Any of it.
Right.
I remember praying at night to a God that I didn't know that he would get my parents out of this religious cult thing.
That's honest.
Yeah. And so anyway, I came home one night, and Daddy went out and opened the car door, and a bunch of beer bottles fell out. And so he took away the keys to my car. And I was also not used to my daddy giving me any consequences. And so I didn't like that. And so I packed up all of my stuff. And while my parents were at work, I left home, packed up all my stuff and left home my senior year of high school. And I was 18 years old. So legally, I could do that. And there wasn't anything they could do about it. Yeah. And I was out for about 3 months, and I really missed my parents tremendously because we were, although we were not a Christian family, we were a very, very close, loving family, and had a very good relationship. And so I was, you know, just really heartbroken at the separation. And my parents really struggled with calling me and saying, you know, just come on back home. You can live however you want to live. You don't have to go to church. You can do whatever you want to. But instead, my dad took that verse that says, as for me and my house, we will obey the Lord. We will honor the Lord. And so he took that very seriously. And so they just continued to pray that God would give them strength. And this one particular night, it was after midnight, and I was already asleep, and I just woke up and I thought, what am I running from? Why am I running from this God that my parents love so much? And because I had watched them for 3 months really put their love for God above their love for me, I began to realize just how real he really was, because I knew how much my parents loved me. But for them to love me so much that they were willing to let me stray and to let God grab a hold of my heart, I just woke up and thought, what am I doing? And so my daddy had taken away my car, so I called my boyfriend's mom and asked if he could come get me and give me a ride home. And she was they were also in the church, and she was a very strong Christian, so she was thrilled. So she woke him up and let him come take me home. And I just came. It was interesting. The very night that I came home, my parents were really at their wits' end, and they were actually still up, even though it was after midnight, and they were on their knees in the living room praying that God would give them strength to stand firmly on his word and that he would do the work in my heart. And literally, as they were getting up from praying that prayer, because they were really tempted to call me that night and tell me to come home and I could live however I wanted to, but instead, after they prayed that prayer, they were resolved to stand firmly on the word of God. And at that very moment, I came charging through the front door and just wrapped my arms around both of my parents. And I said, I want to become a Christian, but I don't know how.
That's an astounding quick response. I mean, that's a beautiful application of when it works almost perfectly well. Mm-hmm. You know, your parents coming to Christ and then their heart turbulence for you, and then you responding rather quickly to what you are observing. It says a lot about the whole family, really.
Right.
But the question that lingers is in the person who's listening, that couple perhaps, who has the daughter or the son, who's not responding quite the way you did as a teenager.
That's a good question.
Their heart breaks. They've spent many nights praying beyond midnight for their kid that's out and not coming home at the right time, or all the rebellion that's in them. What advice do you have for them? I mean, they've stood firm, but it didn't have the same result.
Right, right. And, you know, some of those parents have implemented biblical principles while their children were growing up, and they're discouraged because they think, you know, I did take my kids to church, and I did instill the Word of God, and I did the best I could. And what those parents need to understand is that even if they were the perfect parent, which there's no such thing as a perfect parent, but let's just say hypothetically that they did everything right as Christian parents, our children still have a choice. Ultimately, their salvation is a matter that can only be settled between them and God. Our parents cannot make that choice for us. And so all we can do as parents is to instill the Word of God in them and let them see the way that God is working in our lives, and to just tell them things. And, you know, even when we blow it as parents, some of the times that I blew it and say that I just scolded my children or spoke harshly to them instead of the things that I talk about doing in my book, even though I wrote the book, I didn't always do it the right way. But some of those moments even became precious opportunities, some of the most teachable moments, because when I would blow it, I could sit down with my kids and say, you know what? I need to ask you to forgive me, because the way that I just spoke to you did not honor God, and it did not show respect for you. So please forgive me. And when we're willing to humble ourselves and to make things right when we blow it with our kids or anyone else, our kids see how the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. And the very thing that we're wanting our children to do, which is to be humble and to recognize their need for Christ and to allow Christ to transform their lives and to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit by doing what's right and going back and making things right. What an example. So, you know, some of those parents that are listening, they may have listened to some of the things I've said and thought, you know, I've already blown it. It's too late. I've already blown it with my kids. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, sit down and let God, by His grace, take your failures, like my daddy did to me, crying and saying, I need to ask your forgiveness because I've left Christ out. Maybe there's parents out there that have scolded their children and only addressed the outward behavior and just wanting them to conform to right behavior. Ask for forgiveness and say, you know, it's my responsibility to teach you to obey and to train you in the things of God, but I haven't been doing that. And so will you forgive me? And then go over the new standard, go over what's expected, and then start fresh. But doing it from a humble heart, wow, God can really take our mistakes and use them as precious opportunities to show how He works in our lives.
That's so good. So good. Thank you.